Good morning, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ to hear His word and receive His grace. If you are a guest or visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad that you are here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to fill out the attendance card you can find there in your pews. Quick note about our flowers for this morning. As usual, on the altar are the flowers that are usually signed up for, and this Sunday is in celebration of the 71st wedding anniversary for Bob and Joan Arnold. But on Sundays when there are multiple events to celebrate, then extra flowers are placed on the piano. And that did not make it in the bulletin, but that's in celebration of Sarah McPike's 30th birthday, as presented by her mom and her brother, Jill and Ryan. So happy birthday to Sarah, as we enjoy that celebration here today. Order of service for the morning is Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 in our hymnal. And so we sing our first hymn, 786, Lord of All Good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your just decrees. My zeal consumes me, because my foes forget your words. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy, and because without you we cannot but fail, preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, "When will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale? that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oratio, meditatio, tentatio. These are the three rules Luther used to identify the instrumental studying of theology. Oratio is prayer. Meditatio is meditation upon the Word of God. And tentatio, that is struggling or wrestling, or as Luther liked to call it in his beloved German, Anfechtung. Now, most Christians are certainly well-versed in and comfortable with the first two of those arts, prayer and meditation. But the third is what really draws out the proper theology of the Christian. That is, when the chips are down, when you are really struggling and at your wit's end in your life, what do you believe? Where is your faith? The Bible is packed full of instance after instance of the people of God in those moments of struggle. In fact, you will find those moments of difficulty for each of God's faithful people. David's Psalms are loaded with those great events. The faithful Israelites, the ones who clung to the promises of Yahweh God, they suffered grave consequences for their unfaithful brethren. And Paul penned some of the strongest teachings about suffering. Romans chapter 5, Paul says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope." And in his famous words from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.' For the sake of Christ, then," Paul writes, "I am content with weaknesses, with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Much prayer and meditation has come forth from those words, but chief is that of tentatio. Throughout this half of the church year calendar, the year we have been spending hearing the great teachings of Jesus, we have been given so much to wrestle with. Hatred and rejection of family, of friends, of the world. Denial of our own selves. Taking up and bearing our own crosses. And some teachings are simply a struggle to comprehend. This morning's gospel text houses one of those that has certainly challenged Christian understanding for centuries. The parable of the dishonest manager or steward, as we have come to know it so well. Now, this is a teaching of Jesus he directs at his disciples, those who belong to him, who have faith and trust in him. And perhaps St. Luke, in the recording of this text, was too perplexed when he first heard those words spoken by the witness who was there when Jesus taught this parable. While in other instances throughout the Gospels, we have the disciples of Jesus seeking out more information, clarification on those teachings, this parable is not one of them. There is no follow-up to it by the Lord Jesus with those who are his students. Even so, we can see this teaching of our Savior in the broader context of his instruction regarding the Christian's perspective of this world and of its goods, as we have heard recently in Luke's gospel. Now, Jesus had previously shot down the love of money, the love of possessions for his people, for his disciples, as he taught them about the rich man who wanted to go and build bigger and better barns for all of his earthly stuff, not knowing he would die that very night. At the end of this morning's parable, Jesus states, "You cannot serve God and money." For love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, St. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. Now, money itself is not evil, but it is intended actually for God, by God, for our good. And in fact, the very best use of money is to use it for the kingdom of God here on earth. You cannot serve God and money, but you can use money, and you can cause money to serve God. That is what flows from this parable of the dishonest manager. He is commended by his master, Jesus says, for his shrewdness. His job had come to an end. He was not successful, and so must quit his work, be fired, and not able to do anything after that to make a living, the manager had to think of something. He had to act quickly, or he would suffer greatly. Trusting in his master's known merciful nature, he altered the accounts that belonged to his master without his master's knowledge. Each debtor of his master had his debt reduced by the debt manager. And each debtor likely thought this was okay, this was authorized by the master, also knowing his merciful tendencies. Each debtor then would hold the master in high regard, and the dishonest manager would find favor with them, for they had owed much, but now owed less. They, in turn, when the chips were down for the manager, would lend their aid to him in their thankfulness. That is a demonstration of how mercy is supposed to work. Mercy is shown freely to others, and in turn, they show mercy. And while the world wants to hoard its belongings, its money, its possessions, the people of God, those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus, can use their resources to show mercy and to help those who are in need. Throughout human history, rare has been the heathen empire or culture that has helped its poor, its less fortunate. Most often, those with illnesses, disabilities, and other misfortunes, they were left off to fend for themselves. Only a seldom few would actually show mercy and compassion. Christianity has brought a significant change to that treatment of the world's poor and its needy. Hospitals, orphanages, nursing homes, and charities alike can all have their influences traced back to the Christian efforts to help those who are in need. And you can be sure that this drives the devil mad. For he loves it when sinners hoard their goods for themselves, building bigger and better barns for their things and neglecting the care of others. Satan would have truly loved it if God had simply left sinners to their own demise in his great and perfect judgments. Yet that was never God's plan. He was not about to let his creatures go off in their sinfulness without the act of salvation. And he would enact that salvation through the very means of his creation, and even through the most dishonest and despicable actions of mankind. God has made friends for himself by means of unrighteous wealth. That is, through the unrighteous acts of the Jews and sinners like them, working with Pontius Pilate, the Lord Jesus was crucified and killed. Through his death, the full payment for all sin has been made, and through the pure blood of God's own Son, we are declared righteous. Through that blood, and through the forgiveness of all of our sins that it has won, God has made us one with his beloved Son, and thus friends of God and of his holy kingdom. As the people of God, those who are redeemed of Christ through the waters of holy baptism, and those who are fed with the very body and blood of the Savior, we are free now to live here in this broken and sinful world for the time being as the bearers of the light of Christ. Struggle and suffering are certainly common to all of God's people. And God works through those challenges to strengthen up our faith, to draw us closer to him, and to a purer understanding of his teaching and of his sacred theology. The sons of this world certainly are shrewd in dealing with their own generation. But you, as the sons of light, you get to be shrewd in dealing with your own generation, that which is that of the new heavens and of the new earth that is still to come. You are free. Free now to live here as those who know the very end of the story, the ultimate conclusion, the outcome of your faith. You will live forever in glory, with no suffering, no struggle, no tentatio ever again. For you are free now to live here in this world as Christ Jesus did, knowing full well the grace of God and speaking that great and holy news, the greatest of them all, thus making friends for all of eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to sing the offertory.
Create in me.
We're seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected.
Thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Yeah.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you to our musicians who are up in the balcony here this morning. I see Eli Beadle, are you on organ for duet? All right, he was up there, good. And Terry Ladage on trumpet. Kelsey Lee, were you playing trumpet too? I know Kyle was. Kyle, yes? All right, both of them, good. And Randy Torbeck, he's out for the day, but he'll be back soon. And I think there are a few others, men's choir, part of them were up there as well. So we give thanks to God for all of those sharing their musical talents with us here at St. John. As mentioned in the prayers, we did have a baptism following our second service last Sunday, and that was for Miss Cora Frazier. So we're blessed to have her in our congregation as a sister in Christ through the waters of baptism. So thank you, and blessings to you, Cora. Cora, you want to raise your hand? There she is, all right, back there behind the Walker family. Okay, good. So we give thanks to God for that. Arts and Crafts Fair is coming up in the month of October. That has a car show with it, so you're welcome to join us for that and contribute or participate in that if you would so like. Trunk or Treat will be the Sunday right after that, so October the 19th, and that'll be in the afternoon in the back parking lot. So if you want to help with that, there are sign-up sheets available on the bulletin board. I think pull tabs for candy donations there as well. Our WML ladies are still collecting donations for schools through the Orphan Grain Train, so you can still help out with that. And one last thing, we're proud to announce that each and every year our News Gazette puts out the People's Choice Awards for all the different entities throughout our community, and our preschool, Little Lamb, did win third place this year from all those who voted. So we give thanks to God for their success. So share that word out with others, get more kids into our preschool and into our day school as well, so they can all receive the benefits that we offer here through the grace of God. We go forth in his holy name. I think it is, but there it is. Long blessings.